I think sometimes confession is good for the soul. Thursday night, or late Thursday afternoon, I was home and I said to Ginger, "Have y'all got exercise class tonight?" The women always exercise on Thursday night. She said, "Not tonight." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, we got a call from Marlene. She didn't feel good and couldn't come." And then as she began to ask other people, they all kind of fell by the wayside. And she said, "There's nobody coming to exercise tonight." And then she turns and looks at me and she says, "So we are going walking." And that's good. I like to go out and walk. But the sun is getting low in the sky, beginning to set, and we go out for our walk. And if you ever watch us walk in the subdivision, I'm always on the sidewalk. She's on the street. And I asked her about the one. I said, "Ginger, why don't you walk on the sidewalk?" That's why they're called sidewalks. You walk on them. She said, "The sidewalks aren't even. Sometimes one's higher and one's lower." She said, "And I don't want to trip and fall, so I walk on the street." I said, "Yeah, I'll walk on the sidewalk." Thursday night, I ought to have been walking in the street. The sun was setting, and I didn't see that the part of the sidewalk I was about to step on was up about an inch and a half. The next thing I knew, the sidewalk and I had an encounter. And my first thought was, "Wow, this is hard." And you know, when you experience the shock of falling on concrete, you just think, "Did I break something? Have I thrown something?" So I flipped over in the grass next to me, and Ginger comes up and stands over me and says, "Are you okay?" I think she was fixing to keep walking. I said, "Well, I don't think I broke anything. I think I'm okay." And as I stood up, I felt a lot of tightness through my chest and shoulders, almost like you've gone to the health club and overdone it on the barbells and the weights. And the next couple of nights, I couldn't hardly even fall asleep because of the pain in my chest and shoulders. And I finally have made a decision. Sometimes I need to listen to my wife. Guys, I know that's a hard thing for us to take and swallow, but we have a choice in life. We can do what we think is smart, or sometimes we can defer to the wife's wisdom. Amen? So I would spend a lot more time walking in the street than on the sidewalk. But whether or not you choose to listen to your wife, probably it's not that terribly significant in a walk. But we make a much harder choice. I fear that our culture and many of us are at a juncture. And are we going to choose the path that most of our culture seems to be choosing, which seems to be selfish indulgence and turning our back on God and the things that He stands for? Or are we instead going to choose the path that said God is in control and I choose to please Him and not please our culture? You don't have to spend a lot of time observing news to see that something is happening. And what is happening is that choice people are making to pursue against self-indulgence, self-gratification, or listen to God and listen to His word. Even in the church, I fear We oftentimes tolerate, if that would be the right word, the focus on God and a different kind of living, rather than come to church and say, God, help me to live differently than the world. So I want to challenge you today about applying the Word of God in our lives. I know that a number of you came with your Bibles or you've got them on an app on your phone. But it's one thing to have them. It's another thing to apply them in your life. And we're going to talk about King Josiah. How many people here know about King Josiah? Should know a lot more about King Josiah. So let me tell you his story, okay? And it's an interesting one. King Josiah assumed the king. He was crowned at age 8. Okay. And he was not crowned at a time in the history of God's people when God's people were worshiping him. Here's what happened. And I've got to take you back in history. Following the death of Solomon, remember him, the son of David? The last years of his life, he turned his back on God himself and went into idolatry. Shortly after his death, that there was fighting in Israel. And instead of one nation, it became two nations. Israel to the north, Judah to the south. Israel and Judah went further into apostasy. Some 100 years before Josiah is crowned, God destroyed the northern empire with the Assyrians because of their apostasy and their idolatry and how they turned away from God. But in the southern kingdom, Josiah's grandfather Manasseh comes to the throne. And the best way to describe him was despicable. He set out to bring in idol worship. He set out to destroy the worship of God. He tried to have every copy of the law, the Word of God, destroyed. He encouraged people to sacrifice children to idols. He even sacrificed a couple of his own children to idols. He was an evil man, a despicable man. His son Amon comes to the throne. He's only there a couple of years. He is so evil, his servants assassinate him. Josiah at age 8. Are there any 8-year-olds in here? Do we have any 8-year-olds in here? No, I think they're all upstairs. Although he is 8, there's something different about Josiah. From the beginning of his reign, he seems to have a heart for God. He seems to start making changes in the country that would be more favorable to God. At the age of 26, he orders the cleaning out of the temple. He orders it to be refurbished and used again. And in the cleaning out and the refurbishing of the temple, a discovery is made, a couple of scrolls. The first 5 books of the Bible, the law. No one has seen the law for over a century. The law is brought, and Josiah's chief of staff, Shaphan, says, King, we've made this discovery. And the king says, well, what have you found? He says, we've found the book of the law. He says, let me begin to read it to you. So Shaphan begins to read to the king the law of God. And as he reads the law, the word of God to Josiah, conviction breaks upon his heart. And he begins to weep. As in the custom of the day in repentance, he tears his clothes and rips them. And he calls upon God for mercy and forgiveness for himself and for his people. He dedicates himself to one thing, pleasing God. He destroys any vestiges of idols in the kingdom. He returns the people to temple worship and the exalting of the name of God. And because of Josiah, his family is spared. Because of Josiah, the nation was spared. All because Josiah decided that his purpose should be pleasing God. And how to please God would be determined by what he found in the law of God, in the book of God, in the word of God. To a lot of people, Christians and Jews are known as people of the book. This book. Christians have been known through history of people of the book. People who set their course by the book, not by the current trends of society. We need to return to being people of the book. Now, I'm not certain if you have any problems in your family. If you don't, people sitting around you sure do. We get ourselves in messes because we choose to follow the trends of the culture instead of the Word of God. And I will remind you, God's laws are not to cramp your style. God's laws are here because he loves us and he cares about us and he wants to keep us from making dumb mistakes. I think you understand what I mean by dumb mistakes. You probably have made a few in your life. But I want to talk to you about Josiah. I want to talk to you about how this happened in his life. My goal is to get you into the book. If you're going to be a people of the book, you need to be in the book. If you are not in the book, on the back of your outlines today, there's encouragement there that if you'll start the scriptures we've got for you for the next 4 weeks, I think it is, that'll take us up to when we start our Be the Message campaign. So with that, I've got a few simple points I want to take and share with you. The first point is this: find it. In the temple, Josiah's grandfather and those before him had brought in pagan statues and idols, and even images, the Ashtaroth pole, encouraging sex within the temple. It was a place that just abhorred the heart of God. But back in a corner somewhere, underneath some of the mess, God's word lay. Prepare to change lives. Prepare to change a country. If anybody would just find it, dust it off, open it up, and read it. Josiah's people had not seen the law of God or the word of God for over a century. We don't have that problem. Most of us have multiple copies of the Bibles in our homes. We just have to decide which translation do we want to read today. If we don't have that, we can have apps on the phone that will pull you up almost any translation immediately. It always has amused me to walk by a car sometimes and you see a Bible in the car sitting up on the dash. Have you ever seen that? And the cover of the Bible is cracked and bent because it's been sitting on that dash a long time. When I say find it, I mean we need to put our hands on it. We need to take it off the shelf and dust it off. We need to understand it's been lost to us because we've not used it. When I was, I was around 13, my friend Butch and I were taken to the fair by my parents. And when we got to the fair, as kids always do, our eyes were open and we just began to look and want to go and go, and we got separated from my parents. See, that's what happens in the world today too. There are so many things that excite us that before you know it, we're walking down the wrong path, walking the wrong direction. Well, we got separated from them, and the next thing, and I don't know how we did it, we went into the show, and the next thing, we find ourselves outside the fair. Don't know how we did. We were just exploring as kids do, but we were outside the fair, and they wouldn't let us back in because we didn't have a ticket. And we must have stayed outside for at least 30, 40 minutes before my father finally went back to the gate, and we were standing there. And he had to pay for us to come in again. Now, needless to say, he wasn't happy when we got home. But here's what I found out. You need to stay with the people that brought you to the fair. And you know, and we need to stay with God through everything going on in our life. Yeah, that looks fun over there, but it's not where we need to be. Find it. What Bible do you like to use? Find it. Bring it out. Number two. Get into it. Shaphan said to the king, "The priest has given me a scroll, so read it to the king." The Bible in your hands does nothing. But somehow it's like that we think by just having the book, we're protected. No, we're not. It is a guidebook of how to allow your life to be not only pleasing to God, but successful. The Lord told Joshua he should study this book that he might have good success. I know it's not easy. We have so much competition, don't we? I can't tell from here, but there's probably people sitting here now got their phones out texting. I know the temptation. I think I told you last Sunday, I didn't know a couple of weeks ago you could actually watch movies and television on your phone. I'm like, wow. Then I think, oh, how bad is that? How tempting it is. That the games that we have today that just draw people in. And if we're not careful, we begin to think that the book is dull. The book is not dull. The book just takes you to a different place. A place that maybe is not on the surface quite so exciting. It takes you to a place that'll change your life. To a place that'll keep you where you need to be. When we ignore the book, we ignore our future. When we choose to follow the culture of the world, ask Josiah, we choose to follow destruction. And our culture doesn't stand and scream at you, follow me, follow me, follow me. But it does say, come do this and come do that and come do this and come do that and think how fun this would be. And it begins to pull us away from God. And we do choose whether or not to follow Him or follow the culture. And for you teenagers and young adults, it is especially important that you make a choice. That you choose if you're going to be God's people or you're going to be a people. It just follows the way of the world. Number three, see yourself in it. The Bible isn't about other people, it's about you. I think sometimes in church especially, and those of us who've been here for a while, we tend to take and read some passage that reveals a sin, and we think, well, I can just name the people who were guilty of this. We think it's always about somebody else, don't we, and their faults and their failures. No, it's about us. When Josiah heard the scriptures, he saw himself in the scriptures. When the king heard what was written in the book of the law, he tore his clothes in despair. You see, it's one thing again to please the culture, to please his people. It's another thing to please God. King Josiah said, "The Lord's anger is burning against us because our ancestors have not obeyed the words in the scroll. We have not been doing what the scroll says we must be doing." Josiah said, "The Lord's anger is burning against us." Just 100 years before, the Lord became so fed up with the northern kingdom that he used the Assyrians to destroy them. Judah was at that brink right now when Josiah became king. God was about to destroy them, but because Josiah chose to obey God, chose to turn his back on what so many others wanted, God spared Judah. Now, I am not, nor do I claim to be a prophet. But when you see some of the decisions that we are making within our nation, some of the things that we wink at, the Lord's anger surely must be burning against us. There has never been a nation as blessed as we are. Our founding fathers understood it. I pray that we not see God's anger burning against us, but I fear unless we change, we will see it. And we may not be at a point that we can stop it. But we may be at a point, at least within our lives and in our families, within our circle around us, that God could spare us. Josiah saw himself in it. He saw his disobedience before God. He saw his kingdom in it. It breaks my heart when you or someone in the church makes choices that I know are displeasing to God. It grieves my heart because I know you've turned your back on Him and you're choosing to follow the ways of the world. This is how Josiah felt. He saw the anger of God. He prayed not only for himself, but he prayed that God be merciful to his people. God's word changes people. God's word comes alive in us. God's word allows us to please him when we listen and we obey. I think as I was a young person coming up in church, whenever I would hear the preacher say something about God's laws or God's word and us obeying the law of God, I almost pictured God like some kind of a dictator that had laid down some mandates, and he really didn't care about us. He just had these laws we had to obey. We call them laws because God handed them down to us. But the laws of God are rules to help us in our life. Parents, I trust you have rules for your children. You can call them a law if you want. Do you make them go to school? I hope so, if you love them. Do you do you make them eat their vegetables? You should at least try there. Keep them away from the sugar. Do you take them to the doctor when you think they're sick, even though the child may protest? We make decisions for our children, not because we hate them, but because we love them. We tell our children when they're small, don't cross the street. Is it because we don't want them to get to the fun to the other side? No, we don't want them hit by a car. God understands things about you that you don't know. That's why you need to be in the book. He'll guide your heart, direct your heart. It'll transform your heart. Number four, do something about it. Now this is good. Then the king summoned all the people from the least to the greatest. All right, that meant he brought in the servants. He brought in leaders. And he read to them the book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. He pledged to obey the Lord God by keeping his commands, regulations, and laws within all his heart and all his soul. God doesn't want you to just read the book. He wants you to do something about it when you read the book. One thing the book does, it reveals who you are. It reveals your heart. It reveals your bent towards sin. It reveals the things in your life that are displeasing to God. And when that happens, what are we going to do about it? Josiah, although he's begun to make reforms in Judah, it is a long way from being where God wants it to be. But when Josiah begins to look into the Word of God, he said, I've got to change. If I want to please God, I've got to be different. I've got to do different. Let me give it to you in a different light. This is from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 1, 22 through 24. Have we got this, David? He says, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself, or if you just listen and don't obey, you're like a man who looks at your face in a mirror and you do nothing about it to improve your appearance. You see yourself and you walk away and you forget what you look like. If I was a wagering person, I would wager most of you probably looked in the mirror this morning, didn't you? Although there are a couple of you, I question whether you looked in the mirror. You looked in the mirror and you did what you could to make it look better, didn't you? You combed your hair, you tried to fix yourself up, maybe you shaved. That's why you looked into the mirror. Unless you're like the old Fonz of Happy Days and you looked and just went, eh. I doubt if any of us are there. We look into the mirror to improve. That's what God's law is about. James says, if you don't read the Word of God and change, you're like the person that gets up and their hair is everywhere. Whenever I wake up, my hair is everywhere. It's a frightening thing. It even scares me sometimes. I look in the mirror and I begin to brush and comb. I want to change it. James says, if you don't allow it. I'm going to tell you a quick story about Andras Tamas. Andras Tamas was Hungarian. Fought in the Second World War. That was not his name. I couldn't find his real name. The Russians found him. He was fighting for the Russians in the Second World War, but he spoke Hungarian, and the ones who found him could not understand him. They thought it was gibberish. They thought the man was crazy. He spent 51 years in a Russian psychiatric hospital. By the way, he came home a couple of years ago, the oldest prisoner, the oldest POW from World War II. He had not seen a mirror in over 50 years. It said that when finally someone recognized his language, they understood the man's not crazy. He just speaks a different language. And said that when he was brought out and he stood and looked at himself in the mirror, said he stood there for over an hour. And he would take and rub his face, his hair, his beard, and look at the wrinkles on his face. He went into the hospital, a young man. Now he's an old man. And then at one point he remembered his name. Family began to come to him, and they found him and brought him back into their family. 50 years without a mirror, not knowing what he looked like, not knowing what he needed to do. And do we need to? Josiah, king of Israel, God broke his heart. Josiah made changes. This is what Josiah did when he recognized that his people were away from God. He removed the idols from the temple. You would have thought, well, why would they have been idols in the temple? Over time and culture, things happen. He removed the pagan priest from the temple. He takes away the Ashtaroth pole, which was a fertility pole that people were encouraged to engage in sexual activity around. He removes the shrines of the prostitutes and their areas or booths or beds, all from the temple. He removes the idolatrous shrines at the city gates. He removed the shrines that were set up for the worship of the sun. He cast off all the mediums and spiritualists. He removed the idols that Solomon had set up to appease his many wives. And he restored the celebration of the Passover. If the Word of God doesn't change you, something's wrong. You've not seen yourself in it. When the Bible talks of sin, it talks of us. Our rebellious tendencies, our sinful nature, our selfishness. What reforms have you made? What changes have you made in your life when you consider what the Word of God says? You might say, well, it was obvious what Josiah needed to do. There were idols and they were pagans and they were witches and they were prostitutes in the temple. It was obvious what he needed to do. Well, open your eyes. It's obvious what we need to do too. We need to make God's Word priority. I know you've got a busy schedule. Crazy thought. This is a crazy thought. Wild thought. Try turning off the television. Maybe put your phone away. Maybe shut the game down. It's really kind of obvious when you think about it. What reforms have you made? I was asked the other day by a member of the church, and I appreciated the sincerity of the question. Pastor, my family, we're trying to get out of debt, and you need to be out of debt. What do you think about us withholding our tithe so we can get out of debt? I said, it's a dangerous move because the tithe isn't yours, it's God's. Did you know there are many Christians who think that the money in their pocket is theirs and they don't understand it's God's? And that God has said, hey, I want a tenth of it and then I'll bless you. Some reforms in your life. Give God his tithe. Give up that sinful habit that you have. Ask God what to do and he'll give it to you. Finally, number five, devote yourself to it. I love this passage. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and strength. Does that remind anybody of another verse in the New Testament? They asked Jesus one day, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the first great commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you want to know why God blessed Josiah? Because he lived to please God. That ultimately is our decision. Are we going to live to please God or are we going to live to please ourselves? And if you're going to live to please yourself, make it good because it's not going to last long. God says, if you love to please me, I'll give you life here and hereafter. It is a choice we make. We have neglected the Word of God, and we act surprised sometimes at how rapidly our culture has changed and how things in our family sometimes just go south. Let me tell you another story. I like to tell stories. This is about the 19th century French philosopher Emile Callet. Okay, now let's turn off that, David. Let me tell you the story first, and I'll get to that. He was a French philosopher. Kind of conjures up a picture, doesn't it? French philosopher. He wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with religion or anything like that. He even thought about writing a book to help him better understand himself. And then came along the First World War. He saw his best friend shot to death right in front of him, and his chest just exploded. He himself was wounded and barely survived in battle. He began to question things, and he began to write that book that he had been thinking about that explained himself. It was somewhat of a journal and somewhat of advice. But year after year, he added to this journal, this book, that would help him better understand himself and why he did certain things or why he went certain directions. Finally, he finished the book. This book he thought that would really change his life. And he said as he began to read the book, he found no answers, only reminders of his failures. And after a while, he just discarded the book as useless. And once again, in depression, began to question. His wife, by his testimony, under extraordinary circumstances, one day brought home a Bible. And he refers to it as extraordinary circumstances. Okay, David, Tom, for the quote. He'll get it in a minute. Maybe. All right. He says, I literally grabbed the book from her and rushed to my study with it. I opened it and chanced upon the Beatitudes. I read and read, now aloud and with indescribable warmth surging within. I could not find words to express my awe and wonder. And suddenly that realization dawned upon me. This was the book that understood me. Okay, next one, David. I needed it so much, yet unaware I had attempted to write my own in vain. I continued to read deeply into the night, mostly from the Gospels. And lo and behold, as I looked upon them, the one of whom they spoke, the one who spoke and acted in them, became alive in me. We forget sometimes that the Word of God is alive. That is like a sword that cuts through. It convicts, it strengthens, it delivers. And yet we, as the people of the book, oftentimes neglect the book. And we wonder why we and our families end up in the mess we are. King Josiah changed the future, his future, his family's future, and a nation's future. He set an example of the importance that we find the Word of God, that we open the Word of God, that we read the Word of God, that we allow it to change us. Now, you and I stand at a fork in the roads. We see our culture, and it's becoming more and more obvious, anti-God, anti-faith, anti-anything traditional. And we see the book that tells us how to live our lives and be different and please God. One path says, please yourself, be happy. The other path says, please God and you'll have real happiness. And we choose which path to follow. And if you'll think of it from that perspective, you can almost figure out what path people are on. Are they pursuing instant gratification? Are they pursuing things? Are they pursuing the fun of the world? And it's out there. Oh, it's out there. Or they like Josiah, pursuing God and taking joy in what God gives. The scriptures are clear, abundantly and abounding. Choose God, choose life. Reject God, choose death. My prayer today is that I hope something I've said today will get you in the book. Parents, your children spend most of their days in school with a culture that's moving away from God. Their phones, their technology, their games bring them into a world that's moving away from God. You need to wake up and you need to see that you need to pray for your children. And you need to figure out how to get your children in the book. And the first way to do that is to get yourself in the book and let them see it. Your future, their future hinges on it. If we're going to say we're people of the book, let's live by the book. I don't see where we have an option. I just don't see it. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Sometimes I just want to grab people and shake them and say, open your eyes. Don't you see what's going on? The devil wants your children. And he's got his hooks into them deep and he's pulling them. You're the only one can change it. Maybe he's got his hooks in you. Maybe your Bible is gathering dust on the shelf. Or maybe you do read the Bible, but you never see yourself in it. You never allow God to deal with your heart. I want to conclude this sermon today with a prayer. I hope I have struck some note within your heart that you need more of God and God needs more of you. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, if you feel that God has just maybe quickened you or awakened you, or maybe you're thinking, God, I need to do something with my family. I need to get them in the Word some way. I'm going to ask you to just slip from where you're standing, come and just stand at the front with me, and we're going to pray together. Would you just say, Pastor, I'm on board with you. I need prayer. Are there others? Just step out and join. Just join us for prayer. Josiah was a wise king. because he turned to God and said, I'm going to please God with my life. Not my culture, not what my fathers did, but I want to please God. Father God, we stand before you, Lord, your people. And we stand before you, God, reminded of our failures and of our stubbornness. And Father, we first of all ask you for your forgiveness. Forgive us for neglecting you, neglecting your word that you gave to us to change our lives. Father, deepen our commitment to love you and to be in the book. Deepen our commitment to raise our children in your book. And Father, strengthen our resolve to do what the book says, no matter how hard it is. No matter how difficult it is, that we are obedient to you and we follow you, Lord, and not our culture. And Father God, I pray your blessing upon these, Lord, standing before you. Lord, I pray that you would forgive their sins. I pray, Father, that you would restore their faith, their boldness, their resolve in them, Lord, for you. And I pray, Father, that we might see a renewal within this church of the fire of God within the hearts of his people. First, in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.